time then to meet our sound advice guest this afternoon. Lynn Russell is from Chantry Health. She's a hypnotherapist who practices in Lewes. If you have a question for Lynn on the subject of hypnosis, you can get in touch. The number 03 459 57 0057. So I suppose my first question has to be, you know, what is hypnotherapy, and how can it help? What sorts of conditions can you help people with?
Okay, firstly, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here. And I think hypnotherapy, hypnosis is the state. So hypnosis is the place you find yourself when your body's really, really relaxed and your mind is just in that lovely dreaming state. Hypnotherapy is what you actually do while you're there. That's the therapeutic bit. And there's a whole range of situations where it can help people. Some of the ones I come across regularly, as I guess a lot of practitioners do, would be things like insomnia, anxiety. Probably, I'm guessing, something you've never experienced would be fear of public speaking. Some people really struggle with that. So if they've got to stand up and give a presentation at work or at a wedding, that sort of thing. It can help with confidence building, phobias, so a whole range of things.
And it's very different, isn't it, what you do to that whole kind of look into my eyes, look into my eyes, look into my eyes. I mean, I mentioned earlier, you know, these sage shows where you see people hypnotised to think they're a chicken or what have you.
Yes, absolutely. And it's one of the things that the whole intention and setup when you're going to see a professional practitioner is totally different. So stage hypnotists will have a way of selecting people to pick the ones that are going to put on a good show.
Right.
So it's entirely different setup, a very different process. And one of the big questions people often have about hypnotherapy is, will I be in control?
Mm.
And the answer is yes, absolutely.
Because that would be my worry. You've really got to trust the person who's putting you under, because there is that worry, that concern, that you won't be in control and that, you know, anything could happen.
I know it's a really common sort of misconception about hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and not helped by the whole stage show thing, I think. But basically, if we could actually put people under and brainwash them, all the prisons would be empty, because the government would be marching us in and saying, look, can you just have a session with everybody and stop everyone
deal
committing
with this
crime?
Lynn.
Yes.
Yes, doesn't quite work like that.
Yes, exactly. So you are awake, you're conscious, you can hear everything that's being said. A lot of people remember what's being said, and you know, you are in control all the way through.
Mm.
Most people really like it. They find it a lovely, relaxing experience.
Are there some people though who are simply impossible to hypnotize?
I think in a therapeutic setting, it's very much a question of consent. So if somebody really doesn't want to be, then actually that's okay. They don't have to be. Some people, if they've had, if they have a condition that might make it really difficult for them to concentrate, because what a hypnotherapist will do is just take you through a pathway where you're focusing on things. And if they find it really difficult to sustain concentration, that might make it hard for them to have hypnotherapy. But other than that, pretty much anybody that wants to can.
I did have, just reminded me, I did have a hypnotherapy CD once, hypnobirthing.
Ah, yes.
Whilst I was pregnant. And I used to put it on and I'd try and lay on the bed and I'd try and kind of concentrate. And I would just start laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if that's a common reaction that you have from people. But I think, you know, it can feel, certainly for me, it felt so completely kind of out of my comfort zone that I just felt a little bit awkward about the whole thing.
And I think that's very often why a lot of practitioners, part of our job is people come and meet us quite often for a short preliminary session free of charge and meet us and find out what we're like. And we try to find out what's right for them. So part of our job is actually to put together a session that's going to feel in their comfort zone, that's going to be around things that they think, yeah, that's in sync with what I'm working with and the kind of person I am. And this is one of the benefits of having something that's tailor-made rather than, you know, off the shelf stuff can work very well sometimes, but one of the benefits of having it tailored for you with a practitioner.
Well, as I say, it didn't work for me, but I know plenty of people who swear by hypnobirthing. They've simply breathed their babies out, no pain relief required, because they are able to kind of, I don't know, get into that zone.
Yeah.
We've been talking today about the Diana tapes and whether or not Channel 4 are right to broadcast these explosive tapes or not. And the thing that struck me was that, you know, these were tapes that were recorded whilst she was in conversation with her voice coach and friend, apparently. And maybe that is why she was so candid in some of, you know, the stuff she said. I imagine doing what you do, people must really open up to you during a consultation. Would you have to keep that confidential? I mean, what are the rules there?
That was one of my first reactions as a practitioner when I was listening this morning and hearing about this, was that we are bound by codes of ethics and confidentiality, the same as doctors, psychotherapists, and practitioners who are registered with a professional association would have signed up to a code of ethics and practice, and it's just standard. So I was really surprised that actually these tapes existed and that
he'd sold the rights to them in the first place.
Yes.
If you have a question for our Sound Advice guest this afternoon, Lynn Russell, she's a practicing hypnotherapist from Lewes. You can get in touch. Chris has given us a call from Eastbourne. Chris, I understand you are decorating your kitchen this afternoon.
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid Lynn can't help you. Yes, Lynn can't help you with that. I don't know how good you are, Lynn, with a paintbrush, but... She's better at hypnotherapy. Now, what is your issue, Chris?
My question is that I've bitten my nails since I was a child. I'm 67 this year, and I can remember my mother at the age of 5 telling me off for it. And I've bitten them all my life.
Could hypnotherapy help with something like that?
Yeah, I think... do you know why you bite them, Chris?
The worst time is when I'm driving. If I don't, driving around, you suddenly think, oh, crap, am I going to be on time? And the nails go in the mouth, and, it's...
So it's sort of a nervous thing, kind of anxious sort of thing a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, where hypnotherapy would sort of approach this would be to look at, and it's the same with any habit, really. You've got to get underneath it and look at why you're actually doing the habit, and then find a way to give you other options. So what a hypnotherapist would do would work with you to allow you to, if you like, update, a bit like a computer, update the software to say that when I get stressed, perhaps actually I don't bite my nails, I just concentrate on my breath, or I just, you can actually trigger in a different kind of response that's more constructive for you. So we'd call that a post-hypnotic suggestion. So we sow a little seed in the session that allows you to behave differently when you're driving, say, and that stops you biting your nails.
Yeah.
There will be people listening, and thank you so much for your call, Chris, because I appreciate it. There will be people listening to us this afternoon, sceptical sorts, Lynn, who think, what a load of old mumbo jumbo. I mean, if Chris wants to stop biting his nails, he could just buy some of that stuff that you paint on your nails that tastes disgusting, job done. There's also the argument that it's a placebo, the fact you've been to see a hypnotherapist, therefore you think you're cured, so, whoa, hey presto, you are. What would you say to that?
It would make my job easier if that's all there was to it, actually.
Wouldn't it just?
It would be quite nice. And one of the things that I think surprises people, because these days we have the benefit of things like modern anaesthetics, which are pretty incredible when you think about it. But, you know, hypnosis was used before chloroform was invented. So there were surgeons who performed thousands of operations using just hypnosis.
Wowzers, I don't know if I fancy that.
No.
Knock me out instead, please.
I might opt for a modern anaesthetic as well. But what it shows you is the power of it. And there are, when I qualified as a hypnotherapist, my neighbour came round with a newspaper cutting about a chap who quite recently, it was a few years ago, had actually had hypnotherapy using hypnosis for hip surgery, I think it was. It was major surgery because he didn't respond well to anaesthetics.
Wow.
So, it is a strong effect.
So, obviously, Chris in Eastbourne there, has bitten his nails all his life. You think that hypnotherapy would be able to help him. You must have seen lots of patients, clients over the years. What have been your kind of real success stories, would you say?
I think the areas where I find it's lovely working with hypnotherapy is the whole thing with the process of hypnotherapy is you're accessing the unconscious mind. So if you imagine your mind is like an iceberg, the tip above the waterline is the conscious bit. So this is the bit with you and me talking, focusing on what we're doing, it's what we're aware of. The unconscious mind is about 90%. So that's sitting underneath the surface, and that houses all your knowledge, memories, experiences, habits, patterns. It's also busy digesting lunch, making your heart beat, breathing. It's incredible. And what always excites me with hypnotherapy is the possibility that's the bit we're tapping into. Mm. So we're getting access to more of ourselves. So
that's the bit that scares me, though. You see, when you said to Chris, we've got to try and get to the bottom of where this nail biting has come from. I guess the danger is that once you do start tapping into that stuff, you don't quite know what you're going to uncover.
Well, I think really perhaps this is where an experienced therapist practitioner is able to help, because we know how far to dig. So actually that's enough, just knowing that it's when he feels a bit stressed driving today's roads, it's enough to make anyone feel stressed. Mm. So it's really looking at, if you've got a habit that's difficult for you, it's looking at why you have that habit in the broadest sense.
Right.
Because you need to actually replace that behavioural response with something else. Mm. So it's just sort of unpicking, reprogramming back to there. You don't actually need to go all the way back.
Not necessarily going back to someone's childhood saying, oh, it's your parents' fault.
No,
which
exactly.
is what you often hear, isn't it?
I know.
It's all your mum's fault. That's why you bite your nails.
Hardest job in the world, being a parent. And that's the nice thing with hypnotherapy, is that a bit like doing a computer software upgrade, you don't have to do the whole computer. It's just going in, putting in something that's more helpful, that runs more smoothly, reducing the glitches, and then you can carry on and do what you need to do.
How did you get into it in the first place?
I think it was just as a practitioner working with people, I wanted to explore a way to help them when they were stuck. We are really amazing human beings. We really do sometimes get stuck doing things that aren't helpful for us. So being able to help people move forwards, whether it's just dealing with a problem they have, improving their health, or just being more, exploring more of their potential, like their creativity. If you Google something like self-hypnosis for creativity, it's massive, because you're accessing your creative, intuitive side, as well as everything else in hypnotherapy.
If you have a question for Lynn, you can get in touch. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. We've had this in on the text line from someone who writes, how could hypnotherapy help me, as I have real trouble, terrible trouble, in fact, getting off to sleep? Once I am asleep, I sleep well, but I just can't turn my mind off. That's from Julie in Portslade. But to be fair, I think that's very much a text a lot of us will be able to relate to.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really, really common, which is no consolation at all when it's you lying in bed desperate to go to sleep and you've got a busy day the next day. Two things, really. One is that, a bit like Chris's situation, you can sort of just track back and look at anything that's actually getting in the way. The other is that with hypnotherapy, the actual process in terms of what's happening with your brainwave patterns mimics what happens when you go to sleep. So actually having hypnotherapy, maybe getting a CD of it, or learning how to use self-hypnosis, you actually train your brain to go down the right pathway to go to sleep. Mm. So you can deal with the issues, and you can also actually just get your brain more into a gear where it can fall asleep more easily.
It's interesting you mentioned the CD thing. Paul's got in touch from Worthing. He says, my wife used to have a relaxation tape that she would play when she went to bed. She never heard the end of that tape, but I couldn't sleep until it had finished. Brilliant. Of course, it goes without saying that there are some medical conditions which means somebody, you know, would need to check with their GP. And as with all of our phone-ins, if in doubt, check with your GP first. One of the biggest issues you were saying people approach you about, though, is insomnia, having trouble either staying asleep or getting off to sleep in the first place.
Absolutely. It's really common. I think at any age it can happen. And I have a particular interest in working with women at menopause. And I find that it's very, very common at menopause. And it can really exacerbate anything else that's going on. I mean, it is a form of torture, sleep deprivation, isn't it? So I think when the weather was really hot and we were all sort of having interrupted sleep.
Yeah, it makes you ratty. I speak from experience.
It's a real struggle. It's a real struggle. So if someone's getting that all the time, that can affect other areas of their health and their functioning. So there are different ways that people can struggle with sleep.
Mm. And the other biggie, you said, is anxiety. A lot of people approach you because they're suffering, you know, with severe anxiety.
Absolutely. And one of the things that hypnotherapy, I think, can offer is a fast way to relax. So to sort of bring down the anxiety rating, the level, if you like. Mm. And then if they have a recording that they can listen to in between sessions, they can actually start to train their responses so that it just becomes much more relaxed, more comfortable, as well as being able to perhaps sometimes just reset their response to certain things if there's an obvious root or cause to the anxiety.
Yeah. Obviously, another area is phobias. And Carl, the gardener's got in touch on this. He says, I have a problem with needles. I faint when I enter a hospital or the doctor's surgery, even the vet's. Would your guest be able to sort that?
Yes, I do sympathise. I'm not the world's biggest fan of needles either. I'm not sure that many people are. But obviously fainting's not helpful for you, Carl, so I can understand that might be difficult. Again, it's ways of perhaps finding a way to put yourself in a different zone when you go into that kind of environment. So having a more resourceful state that you can call on. So a way to sort of fast track into a place where you're responding differently, feeling calmer. And it's opening up options with hypnotherapy. What you're doing is expanding choices in how we respond to things.
Interesting question from Evie in Bexhill. She says, please could you tell me why it is I cannot remember anything at all about my childhood. I had a wonderful childhood with the kindest mother and five older sisters. My father died when I was five, but I cannot remember my childhood at all, but I would love to. My sisters tell me stories and I listen and take them all in. Why is this? I'm now mid-50s. It's interesting. I mean, do you find that when you sort of tap in to people's mind, as you say, do memories that had been long since forgotten come back? Or
I think that can happen. I think what is lovely is that sometimes, and it doesn't sound like this would be the situation in Evie's case, but sometimes the unconscious mind can actually almost package away things that have been difficult, sort of put them into a little box for us. And that's part of our sort of emotional mental survival kit, and that can happen. With Evie's situation, I'd be interested to know if that had always been the case, that she hadn't been able to remember her childhood particularly, or whether that was more recent. Being in my 50s now, I know that my memory is hormonally challenged on occasion. So whether it was just changing more recently, or whether this was actually a longer term situation.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it. People want to find out more. How can they?
Probably the best place to look would be on my website, which is chantreyhealth.com.